Hey Eeyore, Monday the 9th of May, Rabbi David Zvi Wieder. Does canned tuna need a hechsher?
Shalom. I person with Kvedach Sanye, I want to thank everybody to give me the opportunity to talk about this noise. I don't feel worthwhile to talk about it. It's a big thing about the it's in the Reise. And the second thing is I want to thank the English Jews about helping our Moistas Hakerem through Rabbi Avrom Cohen in Golders Garden Hakerem Trust for 35 years. And thank you for all the opportunities. We have to thank first the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, and I hope I will say things what should be said and not say things what shouldn't be said. The topic is really the whole noise of dagim, not just tuna. I was asked to talk 10 minutes about the halachic questions and 20 minutes about stories and things and logistics, how it works in reality. There's a halacha in the Rambam brings. Mitzvahs Eser Lida Simonim Shemavdilim Letzmachalos Asures Perek Aleph Aloche Aleph. Let's if you see later on, get I to go into this whole noise. Mitzvahs Eser Lida Simonim Shemavdilim Ben Behema VeChaya VeOif VeDag VeChagav and Shneema VeVdaltem Ben Behema Atoiro Letmeo Ben Oif Atome Letoiro. The point is, fish, we know, everybody knows, need a simonim. And the simonim are snapir and kaskeses. And Chazal say already, if there are kaskasim, scales, and not every type of scale is scales what we, okay, the fish is kosher. And the Gemara already brings that if there is a snap, a kaskeses, you know that there will be snapirs, there will be fins, there will be fins, so that you have not to look for. The point is, and there are other points in this thing, there are fishes who have scales in the sea, and they throw them off of the body when they come out of the water. One of the things what we eat regularly is mackerel. Mackerel you can't hardly find scales. There are other tops of, but we know that they had it in the water. But the point is, and there are two topics. It's very very short in this few minutes to touch them, but it's very important that people should realize that we are talking here about the question that arises. The same thing like somebody eating a dover acher or pig, rachmon elitzan, or eating a non kosher fish. And the issue is the issue. And the point is that has to show him somebody is nifshan, and that it's the same. It's a question of the orises. Now the point is, and there's a lot of that in the Gemara. How you look at fish? If the fish is found, if scales are found, the Gemara brings the emaisa that you found the scales on the bottom of a ship. You can rely on that. You can't rely on that. Pieces of fish. What do you do? And there is another topic that. What Chazal go in, and there's a machlokes rishonim about it, is rosh v'shedra, the way the head of a fish is formed, rosh rachav, wide head is from a kosher fish, and if it's sharpened, it's from a non kosher fish, and shedra, that it's a back the spine, the backbone, the spine is in English, yeah, that a kosher fish has a spine, a non kosher fish has not. But there comes a question. There is a machlokes in the Rishonim if you can look at it as a semen or not. And the Rambam derived and others the Besesef brings that this is not a semen, that you can't rely on that. The Ramah and the Shach bring others that is a semen, but just only if you don't have the fish in front of you. And you have the fish in front of you, you can't rely on this, you have to check for kaskasim, you have to check for scales. This is one topic about fish in very, very short. And there is another topic, what is a Gemara in Avodah Zarah, all these Gemaras, Daf Lamed Tet, Daf Mem. The Gemara in Daf Lamed Tet brings Amar Rav Chavis also bechoysam echod. Chavis also bechoysam echod. The Gemara says, what is Chavis? Chavis is chatichas dag, a piece of fish, boso, yain, meat, yain, wine, and tcheles, the blue color. But the Mitzvah Hashem, when Mashiach comes, we'll get back for sure that of the tzitzis, the mitzvahs of tzitzis, the ikar mitzvahs of tzitzis. But this they need a good seal. Why? Because we are choishes that there will be forgeries, and this is lemaise, this is nifsak in Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch in Kuf Yud Ches brings this aloche, and kol shisur min haTorah ba'inan shtei chotomes. Everything what is also min haTorah, if you're a piece of fish what is not kosher, it's an iso Torah. You need it properly sealed, and otherwise you can't eat it. If it's running around like. And the interesting topic I found is the thing that is a tshuva for Rav Nissim Karelitz. He says it's that fish is worse than meat. Why? Because by meat you have aloche teisha chanuyas. Now, if you have in the 9 shops of kosher meat, and the one shop is non kosher, and you find on the street a piece of meat called the porish mirube porish, everything what comes out comes from the raw. If you go into a shop and you don't know where you went in, and you catch yourself, oh, what I'm doing here, what where I was, then it's called the kavua mechzal mechzadami, and that's, and then it's also. But you find a piece of meat on the street, you're allowed to eat it. You find a piece of fish on the street, you're not allowed to eat it. And interesting is there's also a tshuva and. Tshuva in Moshe Feinstein in Yoreder Chelek Gimel in Simen Ches, he brings along the whole issue there also of the argument in Maise Paskins that you need to have a proper ashgoche on dagim. You need to have a mashgiach to look on every fish, on every single fish, to check if there are kaskasim, and if you want to send this fish out, you have to proper seal it. That's a loche of Moshe Fein Paskes, a loche. There was also David Schmidl said that the Chazon Ish said you don't to go over to be over avere d'oraisa. You don't have to go to Yafo and buy a piece of treife. You can go in a shop in Bnei Brak and buy a pekel file. That was the word he said. A pekel fish fillet, and you can be over an isa d'oraisa. I was asked to shorten aloha. This is a very, very broad thing, and I'm not the one to talk about it. Everybody, but it's just to remind myself and maybe through that to open a little bit eyes of this thing. The logistic in this is much more complicated than that people would assume, and I'm using this word. There is one of the chief organizers in the OU is called Rabbi Yaakov Luban. He always says that the worst word, the biggest sin in kashrus is to assume. Assume is the biggest love what you can do. Why? Because the Maisa, this is what the way of the Heksha should be. You should check what the reality is and you should go after it. I will bring a few stories not to point out because there might be in some cases rare things or things what you say that's not the majority, but only to understand how complicated such things could be. Rav Dov Zev Steiner Zechon Revroche was a Rav in Copenhagen. He told me more than 20 years ago that many years ago he made a kashrus about fillets, fish fillets for Eretz Israel in Norway. Very high up. And he told me they gave such an honor for this import that the Minister of Fishery came from Oslo, flying up over 1,000 kilometers to the north to meet him there. And they showed him how much they honor this export to Eretz Israel. They give them the best quality. And Rav Steiner told me at that point he knew already the tshuva of Rav Moshe Feinstein, and he wasn't so feeling so good about that. He told me that Rav Moshe Feinstein Paskin, you need two scales on every fish and to check every single fish. How I can give Ashgoche? But there were Rabbonim, and even very important Rabbonim at that time, who gave, he told them, you go there, you check the factory, and we rely on that. But the reason was that this factory was working only with kosher fish. He went on the line, and on his right line, he said, what's that? They told cold, I don't know which type of fish, and what is on the left line? They say, this is a steinbutt. Steinbutt is a non-kosher fish. It looks like halibut, but interesting, I see Rob Feldman brings it, who in a Kitzushonor, then if you write on the right side, if you see the eyes on the right side, it's most probably a kosher fish. If the eyes of the left side, so it looks the same type of fish, but it doesn't have three scales. Then it's a trade fish. And this steinbutt is such a round, big fish, and it doesn't have scales. So he asked how it can be. These are stripes. This machinery are cutting blocks, and there are stripes. So yeah, we added on a new factory outside here, and we're taking this fish, we cut it in stripes, and now we work with this, in this machinery, we can work with the same fish. It comes on the end of the line, and all this, they're very nice blocks, cut it in very nice blocks, and all the leftovers are from both lines, from the kosher and non-kosher, falling in a basket, and what he asked, what are you doing with that? Fish fingers. We make fish fingers. He was already shivering from the whole story. Then I said, come, I want to see the freezers. What do you have now in the deep freezers? Which kind of type of fish? So they said, we have cold, we have that, but they opened up the boxes there, and he sees another type. He said, you told me that this type, you have only two types. Yeah, there was a mistake. Some of the workers mixed up the packets, the cartons, and it was packed the wrong fish, like a salmon. It was written a code, and it was really steinbutt. And so he immediately catched himself and said, "Ben Shalom, it can't be a mistake. Tomorrow, who is in charge of such a thing? You see that without proper shgoche, you can't rely on that." And another point is, years ago there was a convention in Eretz Israel. And one of the Munchen from the OU came, and there were different topics they were talking about. One topic was fish. And he said, very interesting, he said there was in America, I don't remember the type of fish. There was a whole issue what went up to the High Court in the United States. There was a type of fish that the local market lost a lot of money because it was imported from Vietnam and from different places. and let's call it Merlo, I don't know how, code, yeah, and to keep the local fishery market, fishery industry going, they made a tax about 40% on this kind of fish. And every fish what is imported has to pay, they have to pay 40%. So what happened? The importers came with an idea. They called it not cold, they called it mold. They brought it in and they gave him a new name. They couldn't, even with the highest court in the United States, force them to pay tax. Because there was no law, and there was no way how to enforce it, to give a fish a name that you can say, this is called salmon, and I call it salmon, but it's not really salmon, it's salmon trout. Yeah? It's not, maybe, that's in brackets, I say that if you have the Latin name exactly, but it's nechosim she'en lemachrayis, it's not, who is responsible for that. But according to the law worldwide, with the FDA, there's no enforcement that you have to call this kind of fish in the same name. That he told that it didn't, even the highest court in the United States couldn't force them to pay taxes because they were not able to put in such a law that you call a fish with a certain name, and if it's not really the type of fish that you can bring them to the court. The another topic is, and is to understand many years ago. In Ashgocha once in Norway about salmon, I wanted to point out different things to understand, even if I don't talk about the aloche, but to understand how that logistically how careful you have to be. In a factory making salmon, they also made halibut. Halibut is a very big fish. You have two types of halibut. They're cousins. They're not the small one, a few kilos, but there are fish that get up to 300 kilos. But it's more rare. But the normal thing, normal fish is 70, 80 kilos. Very expensive. The managers said that this fish is the gold of the sea. They paid, I don't know, $30 per kilo so they ask, you want to have a piece of fish? Like, how I can do that? They say, yeah, we'll double wrap it. We put you in a microwave. I was afraid. You have what is with scales? So what they didn't look, I tried to scratch, and I couldn't find any scales. The point is, I've seen only the pieces. You couldn't catch the whole fish. I called up a friend of what the importer there and said, tell me, halibut is kosher? I said, for sure. So you want to know sure? I have him somewhere in Yerushalayim, a cousin, is a very, very firm guy. And he asked me to import for the Suda of Purim, for this and that, one of the Choshev's rabbis, a fish of 100 kilo halibut. To bring such a thing for the Suda. You can ask him, he's a mumche in fish, and ask him where the scales are. When he gets the call, sorry, I'm not dealing with kashrus. We have a mashgiach. Where is the mashgiach? He's one of the top people in the Eid Haredis. And he gets the call. What is with halibut? Halibut, the small halibut have clearly scales, but a big halibut I've never seen in my life. So what happens here? The emesis was at the end that some student who learns biology find out in the internet that the fish doesn't really have scales, only on one line. I don't know the name of the line. There's a line in the middle of the fish. The Rebbein Shalom gave the fish the brain, the idea that to feel the where the water flow going, and then this line. This fish has 160 scales on the length, but not the whole fish. You can run around, won't find it. If you don't see exactly this line, you don't find scales. I didn't see this line. But the most important conclusion that you get out of this story here is that if this fish seller. For sure, if he was aware of what he's doing with, he would go and check and say, there's no scales, or Bani Shaloyram, and then he would find the line and say, oh, I found it. So this is an impact that somebody has to take with himself, and somebody gets a call of a year or two later, and I ask him, is Hollywood kosher? Said, yeah, you know, there's a line, I've seen, I checked it myself, the Mashgiach didn't see it. So sometimes you could get such a thing into the most firm areas, and nobody checked it. The point is, and that I want the point is that you have to be clear, and this is the issue what Chazal say, that you have to be clear that somebody who is a Yerusha Maim should check the fish. You can't, there's many things to rely on and stories, but the emes is you're dealing here first of all with a question of the Oraisa, and second thing, you're dealing here with a lochem mefureshes in Shulchan Aruch, and it's a din of the Gemara. Chav is also bechoy samechot. Chatich hazdag needs to be double sealed. It needs to be sealed. Choysam betoch choysam. To understand what's going on tuna, it's very broad this topic, but I don't want to go so broad. But only just a little bit there are a few issues. First of all. Tuna is catched in the sea in very big groups. There is inquiry. Rav Lando doesn't give hefsha on tuna because one reason, I think, because it's frozen it's frozen in the seawater in very very high salted water to get it quick frozen, and I think he's choshed of kavush. But others, all the other Hechsherim in the world, the Haredis, they say that it's such big groups of fish that it's very rare that you get another fish inside there. So they rely on it that even if it's a very big, it's a miut that you get to get a non-kosher fish, and it should be kovush in salted water, very high salted water, in the fish. But then they bring it frozen into factory. The factories... Yeah, I'm not talking about now the possibility of how much got mixed in. I'm talking about the halacha of how much you have to be concerned on to have a proper shgoch on that, because they have many possibilities to do. Yeah? Such a factory works 24 hours. Some hechsherim would send one mashgiach a day, for it could never stand there and check every fish. Other shgoches who do it to a proper job, they have mashgichim, three mashgichim around the hour, four mashgichim around the clock, around the clock, and the point is that it's very complicated because fish is coming in. You have to check every single fish. They are talking normally. Most fishes are skip check, which are in the size of 5, 6, 7 kilos, and it goes into an oven. There's another point of Bishul Yisrael there. It goes into an oven, especially for Sfardim who need to be put into the oven or turned on the fire. Then the fish goes to be made into fillets, and in the end, It's put in boxes. The boxes don't have any they are without any sign on it on the further beginning, and then they go into pasteurizer, and from the pasteurizer out they go on shelves. They're not first wrapped or signed with a label, because the fish, the tuna, sometimes, first of all, it's hot, and the second thing is it blows off. Many of them are blowing off, and you can't use them. So it's a pity to use the labels and make all the work. They wait till it cools down, and they're sure that all the fish are properly sealed. Sealed, not kosher, I mean sealed in vacuum sealed, and then they give the labels on. Such a factory is the size of 5, 6, even 10 minutes walking distance. Even if you have a Mashgiach on the beginning, it's very hard to get on the end. To get a really proper job done, to know exactly which box, which cans you in the end get, you need a very, very sophisticated Hashgacha. If it's not proper done, even if you go around it, even to keep every such wagon what goes into a pasteurizer has, let's say, a few hundred, I don't remember, cans. To keep track on the label what the workers write down, it's very, very difficult. I once asked one of the Sheirim who do that a lot is in Bangkok, Rav Kanto, and Rav Ashkenazi, who made the first tuna there, told me that when he came the first time there, he said, what date we are today? We are the 9th of May, okay, and what will be the code? That he goes on it, and normally you do it, it's inkjet. And he went on the side and he sees a huge amount of pallets standing, and it's written on them 9th of May. So he asked, what's that? So he said, that was a mistake. Last week we put on the day from today. And they were clever, they knew that Ashbocha cost a lot of money, 3-4 Mashgichim a day, the amount that they produce is so they prepared. And it happened, and if you don't have a good Ashgocha, that there are leider importers who are not so straight, and they came up to them and said, we need one container made kosher in Thailand. And they understood already, one container, you don't deal with one container, but they want to pay the Mashgichim for one container. So they said, you know what, we do you the Ashgocha, you pay in advance. When we come and find an Eretz Yisrael that the whole land is full with tuna fish, then you know, we put a note in the newspaper that everything is fake. This importer went away from them and said, okay, now we don't need the job. I have a friend of Meisels in Cape Town who told me, he came once to say the same story, they asked him from Cape Town to make a Ashgocha in Philippines for some Echshon Eretz Yisrael. So they wanted one container. And he came up to the goyim there, it was in China, said, tell me, what happens if the importer asks from you another 19 containers with the same inkjet? No, we don't like to do that. So, but if he asks very nicely, man, he will pay you good because you know the Mashgichim can't come. No, we don't like to do jobs like that. They don't like, but they do that. I want to conclude the last 2 minutes. So you understand how complicated it is. Today in Eretz Yisrael, there's a little bit different because the tuna in Eretz Yisrael, because of tax reasons, is brought in fillets that are numbered in stubble seed to Eretz Yisrael. The packet, if you see Kibbutz Tirat HaKama, Rabbanut Tirat HaKama or something like that, it's packed in Eretz Yisrael. They do it in Eretz Yisrael. That has a big advantage because there's Ashgocha Tmidis. Not only, but, and I want to end. We were talking about fish, an interesting topic. We talked about that somebody needs to know. Somebody will come up and say, I know a fish, this fish, there's no fish like that in the world. Who knows such a thing? Only Rabbi Yisraelim can say such a thing. A few years ago, there was it was in National Geographic. I've seen it in some toilet somewhere. Not that I keep it at home. But about Koelakant, a fish who was a fish who was only found in fossils, and they found it in Commodore somewhere under the ground where they deep. And the interesting thing, I wrote the whole article and that it was very interesting because I was looking at the fish, beautiful scales, clearly mamish big scales, but they were writing that he has a core, not a spine, not a back, and a shedra, but he has a soft one like a shark. How it can be? Chazal say, even that we say it is not reliable and it's a semen, but the Chazal say that the kosher fish doesn't have it gives birth life. This is also a semen for treifas, as if I'm not mistaken. So I found that in the article was written that this scales are other different type of scales. They use it, the local people use it as sandpaper because they don't go off. They never go off. You can make can work at it to sharpen other things. So that is, you see that even something what is found in fossils, what Chazal say is clearly 100%. But to rely on ourselves that somebody should stand up and say, I know that this fish, there's no such fish type in the world, I wouldn't do that. Kodesh Baruch Hu should help us all. We all should be zoiche to eat only what we should do. We should do only what the Kodesh Baruch Hu wants from us, and be zoiche to Yehu L'Shleimah Bevias Mashiach Tzidkenu B'Meiru V'Amen.